complete with probably Joe Brown on guitar, the Vernon's Girls and the Harry Robinson Orchestra, all the people from the days of Oh Boy, 20-odd years ago, but a great start for Billy Fury in the industry. And Billy, it's lovely to talk about those early days. I hope you think so.
If I can remember them, Stuart, yes, that's the problem.
How does it feel to be one of the prime movers of the British rock movement, if that's the way to put it?
I really don't know, Stuart, because I don't think of myself in that way. One of the prime movers, gosh.
One of the first in at that time, though, weren't you?
Yeah, I guess I was lucky on being one of the first, and I think it was a lot easier in those days. There wasn't so many of us. It was just a matter of so many of us liking rock and roll music and being able to get out of our individual cities and way of life into a new way of life.
Well, your city was the city of Liverpool.
Yeah.
Isn't there a tale connected with Liverpool that enabled you to get started? Didn't you sort of crash into a show or something? Perhaps you could recall that first appearance before the public.
Yeah, well I always found Liverpool a very tough city. I suppose everybody says this about this city. And there was a lot of country and western music going on there, and there was a lot of music brought in by seamen from America, etc.
Right.
And a lot of blues, rhythm and blues. And I got very interested in music and bought myself a guitar and was writing some tunes because I couldn't play all the chords to the songs which I really wanted to play. So I made my own tunes up, such as Margot, which we just played. And a rock and roll show did come to the Asaldo Birkenhead across the River Mersey. And I didn't really bust in there. I kind of crept over there. There was no one on the stage door, and I went along with a few mates to give me courage. And I went inside and bumped into Larry Parnes, who was managing Marty Wilde at that time. And I said that I'd written some songs that I was hoping that Marty would be able to perform them.
Oh, I see.
And as I sang them over to Marty, it was actually Marty Wilde who said that he thought that I should go do them myself. And some crazy thing happened. I was asked if I would go on the stage that very night with just acoustic rhythm guitar.
That's the way to do it.
And, yeah, which I did. I did three numbers. I did Margot, I did Don't Knock Upon My Door and something else. I think it was probably Maybe Tomorrow. And from that evening, I was signed up with the tour and went all over Britain.
So your life changed in 24 hours, virtually, I suppose.
Yeah, it was a matter of going home and saying to my father, I've been asked to tour with a rock and roll show. Is it okay with you? And he was pleased to get rid of me. I've been making a lot of noise around the house.
Right.
And I packed my bag and left the next 10 o'clock the next morning. Talk about a stroke of luck.
Well, not only did you start appearing on the British stage, you started appearing on British television, and we'll talk about that after we've heard a track that would have been on Oh Boy at the time. The Sound of Fury, that's the title of the album. It certainly is The Sound of Fury, and was, because it represents 1959-60 or thereabouts, and a song written by Billy called Turn My Back on You. As I say, the type of thing that would have been performed on one of Jack Good's Oh Boy or Wham! Type shows. How did you meet Jack Good?
I think I was taken along to the place where they rehearsed the Oh Boy, and I think there was people like, there were 16 Vernon's girls there, that I can't forget that. there was, I think Cliff Richards and Adam Faith were there, and I had to do an audition, a very, very nervous part of my life.
Whoa.
And hated doing it, but managed to do the audition, and Jack was rather taken with a bit of country and western influence which I had sort of brought down with me from Liverpool, because they're all country mad up there. And once again, it was just a great event for me, a great stroke of luck, and suddenly I was in a weekly TV show.
Now, Cliff often refers to Jack Good as being a major influence, not as a manager, but just as a guiding light on his own career. Would you say the same thing about him?
For me, Jack more or less gave me a completely free hand with most of the songs, but definitely with all my stage movements, whatever looks I wanted to do or give, etc.
You developed quite a dramatic style, didn't you? Which was nothing like the thing that, say, Cliff or Adam Faith or Marty Wilde were doing, something quite separate. Was this a plan of yours, or did he suggest movements and so on and so forth?
No, he didn't suggest movements. I think my movements came from a kind of awkwardness that I felt, probably being in front of people. And also being very moody as well after, like, in people in movies like Rod Steiger, James Dean, and all those rebellious type people. Marlon Brando and anyone who was against authority, and also not being able to speak up for myself very, very much or very often. I was just kind of shy and moody, so I used it to...
like a release in a way, I suppose.
Sure, yeah, used it on stage as a way of letting off steam.
One of the first records I bought by you, if not the first, That's Love.
With a country and western feel.
That's right.
Yes. There's Joe Brown on guitar, and... I think Jack Good produced that album. I think it was Sound of Fury.
Yes, the famous 10-inch album.
I reckon it was the most enjoyable thing I did up until a session I had very recently. But it was one where we were able to go down to the session and I sang the songs over. There was a vocal backing group who were quite quick. And Joe Brown was... working out different licks for the tracks. I had a good bass player and a pianist. And it all came together on the... It was all one session, I think. I think it was a one-day session or something like that. It was very enjoyable.
It's a much appreciated album after 20 years, and the big question is, at the time, the type of album most people were making was let's play safe and go with the mums and dads and be an all-round entertainer. And this is completely against that, and you've done something quite off the wall. Did you think at the time, I'm not going with the flow, I'm going to do exactly as I want and produce the type of record I want, whether it sells or not?
I was fighting not to go with the flow. Everyone wanted me to go with the flow, really. And at that time, I was fighting and winning with my own material, I think. And rockabilly music was very popular, but not so much here, but in America.
That's right.
But I loved rockabilly music. And all my songs that I was writing were basically around that kind of musical theme, sort of things like My Advice and loads of others. And I think that's why I really enjoyed it. But later on, they got really heavy with me and persuaded me that I was going the wrong direction and slowly swayed me towards the ballads.
Yeah, it's odd because a lot of British artists, like Marty, were desperately trying to get their own songs used rather than do American covers, which so many artists were doing. And it's a shame you weren't encouraged more, and eventually you did get bigger hits through covers, but it should have been pushed forward, I think.
I always found that if someone did a cover version, no matter who it was, I always somehow found that when I heard the original, I always preferred the original. So I really hated doing cover versions.
Well, it's ironic, you know, Billy, because... a lot of people didn't like the original of this, anything like as much of yours. First a hit in 1961 for Billy Fury, Halfway to Paradise, and I think it's been played probably every day of every year since. It's a well-established classic oldie. Are you proud of that?
I wish I could say yes, because people expect me to say yes, really. But I think I'm just a bit too critical of my own stuff. I never play my own stuff at all. The only time I hear it is when I... Do something like this, like today.
Or turn the radio on and think, oh, dear me.
Well, I can quickly turn it off if I hear myself. I guess I'm just too... I can hear all the bits I was trying to get to be a certain way, which didn't quite come off. Mm. And I'd much prefer playing other people's stuff.
Now, your days with Decca Records, you had hits all the way through that period, and then... You made a few other records for other labels after that and then sort of retired. Let's talk about that a little bit, if we can, and what happened around 1970, 71 time.
times and dates. 1971, I think that was a real bad year for me. Is that correct?
Sure, well,
yeah, it was indeed. I'd been ill for most of my childhood, although it didn't really affect me. I'd had rheumatic fever. That affected me, of course. I was in and out of hospital as a child, missed a hell of a lot of schooling, etc. And when I got to about 14 or 15, I kind of grew out of it, but it left me with a couple of heart valves, which were later to give me problems. And in about 1962, 63, I started to feel very, very tired, and I thought it was just the reason of traveling around the country almost continually, finishing one tour, having a 3 or 4 weeks break, and then starting on another one.
Right.
Because then we used to do all the big ballrooms as well as the theatres. There used to be a theatre in every, even in the small towns. And I also became very interested in wildlife, animals, and the countryside. And I'd bought a small farm down in Sussex. And I just decided that I would slow down, which I did. And then I became very ill, and I had to undergo heart surgery in, I think it was 70, 71. That was the first one, anyway.
So it slowed you down in as much as the gigs were tapering off, and eventually you stopped gigging altogether.
I stopped gigging altogether, and I went in and had this operation performed by these wonderful people. And afterwards they said, you know, when people have had this operation, even if you're a bricklayer or if you're a docker or whatever job you do, you can go back and carry on after a good rest with the same job. So I started doing some nightclub work and didn't realize that that was quite tough as well, because it was such late nights. I was going on about midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and so the nights became like days, and I was sleeping all day and awake all night. And 5 years later, or just less, I began to feel ill again. And I had to go in and have another heart operation, which...
That's the toll of rock and roll, though, in a way, isn't it, in a sense?
I guess it could. Yeah, I guess you could say that. I guess you could. It was a very jagged part of my life. Both events were probably the most jagged.
That was the worrying side of it, but the time it enabled you to take off and live on the farm and enjoy the wildlife and ornithology side of your life, it must have been pleasant.
Which is the study of birds. And
just to remind anyone, yes.
It was just a complete... I was really very, very into it. Not so much now, because right at this very moment, I'm very much back into music, all kinds and all things. But at that time, I was very, very much into wildlife, and I was doing photography. I was even thinking of writing a book. But I'm still very interested in animals and wildlife. At the moment, I breed horses and I keep sheep. And I'm very interested in what goes on in the countryside.
Now, you've hinted the fact that you're back in the music scene and entering a brand new phase of your career. And it's a bit odd to sort of relate this, because to put a bit of background in sketching some atmosphere, we're working on this thing together now. And
this is the bit that I'm really enjoying. I'm enjoying working with this particular producer, folks. We really gel. And very exciting and very nice, to say the least.
When the record is out and hopefully starts to sell, will audiences be able to enjoy watching you on stage? You intending to go on the road?
I reckon I could stand around on the boards for 40 minutes and warble. Too old to rock and roll, but not too old to sing.
Lots of new songs, lots of old ones. Billy, thanks for talking to us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure.